Thank you, Pastor. Praise God. Well, put your hands together for Jesus. He's the only one who is worthy to receive all praise, glory, and honor. Praise God. I'm sure you can do better than that. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Is it okay if I come down? All right, then I can see into your eyes. Praise God. Well, why don't you just lift your hand and just thank the Lord for a moment. Just thank Him for all the goodness. He's ever so faithful. Praise God. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Let's lift our hand and welcome the Holy Spirit. Wonderful, blessed, sweet Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Spirit of God, we ask that you open our eyes to see Jesus. We are here to see one person and one person only. His name is Jesus. And once again, Heavenly Father, as we take the blood of thy covenant, we declare your precious blood upon this meeting and upon this work that you have begun in this place. Amen. And Lord, we ask that your unction and your anointing will, Lord, rest upon this place. And we ask that you touch and revive and restore every person who will come into this fellowship, O God. And let your anointing rest upon this place to accomplish all that you desired in your heart to do. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Take your Bibles in your hand. I can see who brought it and who did not. Lift it to heaven. Say after me, I come to the house of God. Say after me, I come to the house of God. To celebrate His word. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Please be seated. Praise God. You know, the pastor was saying, where two or three gathered in my name, Jesus said, there am I in the midst. And I want you to visualize, if the Lord was here, your attitude will be different. The way you will expect things is different. So I want you to know by faith, the Lord is here.
Amen.
Amen. I want you to receive from the Lord this morning. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So the subject that I'm going to talk to you about is living in the supernatural. For a child of God, it is natural to live in the supernatural. Can I say that again? For a child of God, it is natural to live in the supernatural. Now, in order to live in the supernatural, first of all, you must be born again. Amen. So I presume that all of you have accepted Jesus as your personal Savior. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Praise God. The church ought to be a joyful place. Amen. Praise God. And the second thing I'm going to talk to you about today, this morning, is having union and communion with the Spirit of the living God. That's what makes us to live in the supernatural. That what makes us natural to live in the supernatural. So can I take you through some scriptures? And I want to go through step by step. And I want to share some of my experiences and the Word of God. And you know, Bible, the Word of God says, faith cometh by hearing and hearing the Word of God. So you might ask me a question, how come I'm giving you so many scriptures? It's because I want to wash you with the Word of God.
Amen.
So that the faith will be born in your heart. Amen. All right. Let's take a journey. Let's go to the words of our Lord Jesus. Let's begin with that. John chapter 16, verse 12 to 15. And I'm going to bring four aspects from this. All right. Jesus is speaking. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Now the Lord has a lot of things to say, but at the moment, he says, disciples, you cannot comprehend everything. But he gives us a good news in verse 13. However, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Verse 14, he will glorify me. He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. This is an amazing scripture. If you look it up in Amplified, it says, he will take what belongs to me, reveal it to you, declare it to you, and impart to you.
Amen.
And verse 15 says, all things that the Father has are mine, therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Now there are four important things from the scripture that we read I want to bring to your attention. And the first one is, It's the most important thing, yet it least understood by the church. The Lord, he speaks and he changed the grammar in that verse. Rather than using the word it, he says he. The Holy Spirit is a person. Say after me, the Holy Spirit is a person. Let the Redeemer of the Lord keep their mouth shut. Say so. All right, one more time. Say after me, the Spirit of God is a person. One more time. You can do better than that. Amen. Remember, the Holy Spirit is a person. The second thing, if you want to live in the supernatural, you need to know he's the sole representative of the Godhead. He represents God the Father and God the Son on this earth. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Amen. The third one is very important. He is the sole administrator of all of God's treasures. Now let me explain to you. Think about that you're going to a beautiful island. Anybody has been to a beautiful island? Australia? All right, Australia. Okay. Now let's put it this way. You arrived at this beautiful island, and the owner of the island came and met you and introduced you a person and said, as long as you are in this island, I will make sure that this person will be with you because he's the sole administrator of all of my treasures in this island. And he will be with you 24/7, 365. Now let me ask you a question. Would you have a great time in that island? He will be with you. He's the administrator of everything. And I want you to make sure, I want you to know that not only you will enjoy, you will have no fear. Come on, talk to me now. Is that right? And that's exactly what the work of the Holy Spirit is. He's the sole administrator of all of God's treasures. He has the key to God's treasures. So you better get to know him. All right? And number four, this is important. He's the one who magnifies, illuminates, and glorifies, and reveals Jesus to you and me. Amen. Because the first person you met before you came into the kingdom of God is not the Lord Jesus Christ, but the Spirit of the living God. He's the one who came and convicted you of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Amen. So he's the one who reveals Christ. So I want to put two things into your heart today. You know, number one, he's the revelator and he's the administrator. Say after me, the Holy Spirit is the revelator and administrator. Okay, you can do better than that. One more time.
The Holy Spirit is the revelator and administrator.
One last time.
The Holy Spirit is the revelator and
Amen. So every morning when you wake up, you can say, Holy Spirit, I thank you. You're my revelator. You're my administrator. Oh, things will never be the same again. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Let me take you a bit further now. Let me take you to the scripture. Galatians 5:16 says, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Is that right? Okay. How many wants to walk in the Spirit? Praise God. Now, let me ask you a question. I'm going to go slow. Today, I'm going to spoon feed you because this is so important. Now, let me say something to you. If you walk in the rain, what will happen to you? You'll get wet. Correct? Wet and rain goes hand in hand. Is that right? Likewise, if you walk in the Spirit, heaven will impart to you a supernatural substance where you can say no to the things of the flesh and yes to the things of the Spirit. Can I say it again? If you walk in the Spirit, heaven will impart to you a supernatural substance whereby you can say no to the things of the flesh and yes to the things of the Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Now, in order to walk in the Spirit, would you agree with me that you've got to be led by the Spirit? Come on, I'm taking you step by step. Praise God. Because I want every one of you to walk in the supernatural. Amen.
Amen.
Because when you walk in the supernatural, the world is waiting for a supernatural experience.
Amen.
Amen. And when you walk in the supernatural, they will come. They will come because the world, why do you think there is so much of Ouija board, they're playing with Ouija board, witchcraft, tarot? Why? Because they're searching. The church has lost. We ought to be the supernatural people. Come on, talk to me. Amen. They didn't have to go to a fortune teller to find your future. They should come to the church to find their future. Amen. Because our God is the true God. Amen. Because the Bible says the Holy Spirit is able to say things to come. Amen. Is that right? Show you things to come. Amen. All right. So in order to walk in the Spirit, you got to be led by the Spirit. Is that right? Okay. Now, let me give you an example. I'll give you the scriptures and I want you to go home and look at them. Luke chapter 4 and verse 1, the Word of God says, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Is that right? Okay. So now, in our minds and in our hearts, we have this picture. When Jesus went into the wilderness, that he was all alone. I want to tell you, he was not all alone. The Spirit of God was with him. You know, when you go through that wilderness experience, you're not alone. The Holy Spirit is with you. Amen. The sister just said, when she was there, you know, sick, the Holy Spirit gave you all those songs. He was right there with her. Encouraging her. Come on. Amen. Amen. So when you're in the wilderness experience, don't think he's not there. He's right there with you.
Amen.
Amen. And then in Luke 4:14, he comes out of the wilderness empowered by the Spirit of God. Not only he's led by the Spirit, now he's empowered by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And Luke 4:18, he walks into the synagogue, opens the scrolls, and he begins to read. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. Who anointed him? The Holy Spirit. He anointed him to fulfill the purpose for which Jesus came. The purpose for which God sent him. Hello?
Amen.
So now think about this. Jesus, my Lord, he's led by the Spirit. He's empowered by the Spirit. And now he's anointed by the Spirit to fulfill the call of God on his life. And the Holy Spirit is going to anoint you to fulfill for what God created you for.
Yeah,
amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, it doesn't stop there. Why? It is by the Holy Spirit now he fulfills God's purpose for his life.
Amen.
For example, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Glory be to Jesus. Are you with me?
Yes.
Amen. And Matthew 12:28, he said, if I cast out the demons by the Spirit of God, then you know that the kingdom of God has come. So now we know that he fulfilled every call of God on his life or call of God on his life by the Holy Spirit. Think about it. He's led by the Spirit. He's empowered by the Spirit. He's anointed by the Spirit. He fulfills the purpose of God on his life by the Spirit of God. Now he goes to the cross by the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14 says, it says that without any blemish and as a perfect sacrifice, he went to the cross. Let me read it to you. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, through whom? Through whom? Didn't hear. Through whom? Eternal Spirit. Offered himself without spot to God. Cleanse your conscience from dead work to serve the living God. Amen. But not only he goes to the cross by the Spirit of God, but also the Word of God says he's raised from the grave by the Holy Spirit. Romans 1:4, he's called the Spirit of Holiness. So think about this. He's led by the Spirit. He's empowered by the Spirit. He's anointed by the Spirit. Who he fulfills God's call on his life by the Spirit of God. He goes to the cross by the Spirit of God. He's raised from the grave by the Spirit of God. If the Lord needed the Holy Spirit, how much more you and I need the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
Are you with me? I want you to think about it. I just don't, you know, I don't want You just say, he came and he preached a good message. It means lost everything. But I want you to practice it. Right. Nothing is taught until it's learned. You got to learn it. It must become. You know, when I got saved in London. And I remember I met an African missionary. And so he said, let's go and pray. I'm just a student. And he said, let's go and pray. He was from Tanzania. And so we were in Yorkshire Dales. We were praying. And so suddenly we felt all these bulls were charging out from nowhere. And I still remember, you know, he held the word of God and he took a finger and drew a bloodline. And I want to tell you, cut the story short, not one bull crossed the bloodline.
Amen.
But you know, after that he told me, you know, I want to get that word of God in my life. He said, even if they cut my toe or thumb, it must speak the word of God. You know, you must have the word in your life. Amen. That is the most important thing. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. All right. Can I take you a bit further? Yes. So you got to know what the word says. Yes. Amen. Yes. So now, if the Lord needed the Holy Spirit, how much more that we need the Holy Spirit?
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Can I take you a bit further?
Yes.
Right? Now, there's a wonderful verse in Mark chapter 1 and verse 12. Let me explain that to you. Praise God. Are you getting hold of this?
Yes.
Amen. And I want to bring it to Mark 1:12. It's coming up. Praise God. Be patient. Thank you, Lord. Make sure you read the Bible. You know what Bible stands for? Basic instruction before you leave earth. Make sure you read it. All right, here we go. Immediately, the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. Now, I came here by car, but I didn't drive, but Joe drove. So all I did was, I sat in the passenger seat, and he knew where he was going, and he brought me here. That's exactly what the Lord wants you to do. You know, many of you, you want to drive the car rather than allowing the Holy Spirit to drive for you. And when he drives, he will take you to the right place. You'll be at the right place at the right time doing the right thing.
Praise God.
Are you with me? So from now on, after today, say in your heart and make sure that you say, Lord, from now on, I'm not going to drive the car of my life. You're going to drive it.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit will be the driver.
Yes.
Amen. You'll be always at the right place, always at the right, in right time, doing the right thing.
Amen.
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 All right. Now, let me give you 3 scriptures. Are you okay so far?
Yes.
Are we still friends?
Yes.
All right. Okay. Now, let me take you a bit further. Now, we read from Galatians 5:16, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So we got to walk in the Spirit. Romans 8:14 says, if you are led by the Spirit, then you are the children of God, the sons of God and the daughters of God. The word there, the sons, means mature sons. Amen. You see, you cannot be mature unless and until you are led by the Spirit. If you have a kid who is 14 years old, and if you have a Merc or an expensive car, would you give the key to him? No, because the person does not know the value of it. Hello? So it is the mature sons and daughters who enjoy the inheritance of God. And so in order to mature, that's the only person who can mature you in the Lord is the Holy Spirit. He's the only one who can lead you to that maturity. So you better hold his hand. Are you with me so far? So those who are led by the Spirit of God are called the sons of God. Amen?
Amen.
Now, next verse. Galatians 5:25, praise God. Galatians 5:25 says, if you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Is that right? Now, let me give you a picture. Are we okay so far?
Yes.
Are you getting hold of this?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Now, saints of God, if I say to you, let's hypothetically say, I'm living in this forest or jungle or whatever it is, that means that place should sustain me. That place should give me water. I should be able to find my food in that place. Come on, talk to me now. Is that right? Likewise, if you live in the Spirit of God will sustain you. He will feed you. He will guide you. He will shelter you. And I found it in my own life. He will be there 24/7, 365. Wow. The greatest friend you can ever have is the Holy Spirit. But you got to have an attitude and develop a discipline to walk with Him. Amen. And every morning, you know, when you brush your teeth and look in a mirror, tell yourself, Holy Spirit, you're my revelator, you're my administrator. I thank you that you manage me. You're going to drive me today.
Amen.
It has to become part of your life. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Are you ready to go a bit further now?
Yes.
Now, the question is this. How do I live in the Spirit? You see, when you learn to live in the Spirit, then you are living in the supernatural. Will that be right? All right. It's very simple. God's things are very simple. He's not complicated. It's only the theology that makes it, you know, let me not go there. Okay. Okay. Number one, you got to acknowledge Him. That is one of the keys to walking in the supernatural. You got to acknowledge Him. You know, the Lord Jesus acknowledged the Holy Spirit. He said in Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. He didn't say, I'm the Son of God. I'm anointed. No, no. He acknowledged the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And in Matthew 12:28, okay, I don't know whether it's coming up or not. But if I cast out demon, by what? The Spirit of God. He could have said, you know, I'm casting out the Spirit because I'm the Son of God. No, He said, I'm casting out by the Spirit of God. He acknowledged the Holy Spirit. We ought to acknowledge Him in all of our life. I thank you, Holy Spirit. I thank you. Lord, it is not by might. It is not by power. But it is by the Spirit of God. It is you. Lord, I thank you. It is you, Holy Spirit. I thank you in Jesus' name who has given us this building. I thank you, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, because you're the one who's going to bring the people in. You're the one who's going to fill this people, fill this place. And you're the one who's going to make us enlarge and expand and touch the city because you are able to do. I thank you, Holy Spirit. Everything you did for Jesus, you're going to do it for us because I'm a child of God.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Pray. I got to acknowledge Him. I got to acknowledge Him. So what? In order to walk in the Spirit, in order to live in the Spirit, what is number one? Acknowledge Him. Say after me, I must acknowledge the Spirit of God. Amen. You got that?
Yes.
All right, number two. You got to confess your dependency on Him. You got to confess your dependency on Him. For example, am I going too fast?
No.
Are you okay? Yes. Praise God. Acts chapter 5, verse 32. We see that Peter says, you know, we are witness of His resurrection. But also there is another person who stands by us. I'm paraphrasing now. And He also bears witness of the resurrection. His name is the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? And in 1 Corinthians 2:4, Paul says, I didn't come to preach with power and everything. I came to preach with the power of the Holy Spirit. Not with the wisdom of man. He acknowledges His dependency on the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? Now, can I take a detour? Are you still okay?
Yes.
Can you take a bit more?
Yes.
All right. Okay, now, let me share something with you. This is very, very important. Now, let's go to John chapter 14, and let me start with verse 15. Once again, I'm taking you to the words of Jesus. John 14 and 15. Praise God. If you love me, what did He say?
Keep my commandments.
Keep my commandments. That doesn't mean if you love me, just buy a Bible. Because a lot of people have a Bible at home, but they never read it. And one day, I was preaching and they said, Pastor, your Bible is falling apart. And I said, that's why I'm not. Are you with me? And he said, if you love me, what? Keep my words. Now, verse 16. I will pray. In other words, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The word helper means one who stands by you. It also means an advocate. The original word is advocate. It's the same word that's used in 1 John 2:1. If you are Bible students, you can have it. It's the same word. It says Jesus is an advocate. It's the same word that's used here in Greek. It's an advocate. The one who stands by us. He's an advocate. Now the question is this. Why do I need an advocate? See, you got to always ask the question. Why do I need an advocate? Now let me say something to you. You know, in the old covenant, there was a man called Joshua who took the children of Israel into the promised land. Would that be right? Okay. But now in the new covenant, we have a man who ever lives to intercede for you and for me. His name is the same, Yeshua, Jesus. But he leads you and me into the land of promises. I don't think you heard it. Joshua led them into the promised land, but our living Joshua leads us into a land of promises.
Amen.
Amen. And so in the new covenant, Jesus Christ died that he might establish a new covenant. Is that right? Why? Because Hebrews 9:17 says, unless and until a testator dies, the will is not in force. Come on, talk to me. Nobody can read the will. So he had to die so that we can appropriate the promises of God in the new will. Come on, talk to me. Is that right? And he rose again to become the mediator of that will. Hebrews 8:6. He's the mediator of a new covenant that based upon better promises. Come on. Are you with me? So now we have these promises because the Jesus, our Lord, has come to take us into a land of promises.
Amen.
Come on. Are you with me? And so, in order when we walk into the land of promises, there is an adversary. He does not want us to get hold of the things that it is paid in full for you and me. Hello? And so, God has given you and me an advocate, an attorney. His name is the Holy Spirit. Wow! And he's more powerful than the devil. Come on, talk to me now. Are you with me? I have an advocate. And I want you to know he has never lost a case. In fact, can I tell you this? I mean, this is amazing. You have two advocates, one on earth and one in heaven. Wow. It's something to shout about. Amen. Amen. And he's not Queen's Counsel, he's King's Counsel. Are you with me? Amen. Say after me, I have two advocates. Come on, one more time. Let me ask you a question. How many advocates do you have?
Two
advocates. One, say after me. One on earth.
One
in heaven. One more time.
One
last time.
One on earth.
Amen. You'll never forget. So from now on, when you have something, don't disturb your pastor. Go to advocate. Hey, it's true. We pastors are limited. But he's not unlimited.
Yeah.
That's what walking in the supernatural means.
Yeah.
Come on, talk to me.
Yeah.
Because he's an advocate. He knows everything. You know, in heaven, there is a council. C-I-L. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And he's the one who brings the counsel from the council. Come on. Are you with me? So when you talk to an advocate, he has already heard what the council has decided. And he will show you things to come. Glory be to Jesus.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes.
And so we have an advocate. So now we learn the Holy Spirit is not only a revelator, he's an administrator. And now we learn he's an advocate. Are you learning something?
Yes.
Amen. All right, let's continue. Let's continue in that. Let's go to John chapter 14, I want to read verse 23. If you can put it, that'll be good. I love that verse 23. Praise God. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, is there anyone who loves Jesus here?
Amen.
Amen. But here is the test. He will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make a home with him. One translation says, he'll make an abode. He'll make his abode in you. You know, I was speaking in a church in Alaska, and I remember the guy was asking me, where does God live? I said, this is God's address. You are God's address, because the Father and the Son will come and make their home in you. I tell my church, when you walk through the supermarket, the temperature must change. Come on. Because why? I mean, if Jesus were here, I mean, everything will change. And where you are, things must change, have to change, will change. Amen. That's what it's all about, walking in the supernatural. Amen. All right, let's continue. Are you still okay?
Yes.
We're still friends?
Amen.
All right, let's go. Next verse, 24. Jesus answered and said, okay, he who does not love me does not keep my words. And the words which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. Okay, verse 25, let's say. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. Verse 26. But the Helper, once again, the one who stands by, the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Now, I think I mentioned last time when I was here, but I might as well give you some of you have forgotten. Now, how many have been to school? Can I see your hand? Okay, you all have been to school. So that means you have encountered a teacher. You come across a teacher, right? Now, think about a teacher. Teacher will teach you, and when the examination time comes, they will give you an examination paper, and then they will tell you that this is the time limit. You've got to answer all the questions and give back the sheet, and we will check it and find out whether you have passed the exam or failed the exam. Will that be right? Mm-hmm. That's what the teacher will do. But I know a teacher who will teach me 24/7, 365, but when my examination comes, this teacher will come and sit with me and make sure that I pass the exam. And that teacher is the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's why I don't fail any exams. He's my friend. You see, that's what it means to walk in the supernatural. Are you with me? That's what it means to walk in the supernatural. Okay, let me take you a bit further. So, we learn that he's the revelator. We learn that he's the administrator. We learn that he's an advocate. And now I learn that he's the teacher. Never open this book without him. He's the author of this book. But when you read with him, you will see Christ. You will see the word in a very different way. Are you with me so far?
Amen.
All right, let's go back to that scripture. Praise God. 26. He will teach you all things. Bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So Jesus said, you know, in that scripture, I've got a lot of things to say to you, but you will not comprehend everything now. So when the Holy Spirit comes, he will teach you the whole counsel of God. Isn't that amazing? Amen. But now, also, he will remind you all the things what Jesus said to you. I know you can go and buy concordance in Kurong, but the best concordance is the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He will bring to remembrance all the things what the Lord has said to you. You know, it's amazing sometimes you have read the word and you don't know, and suddenly you're in a situation and the scripture just comes up.
Yeah.
But who do you think that does it? The Holy Spirit. Because he brings to remembrance all the things the Lord has said. Isn't that amazing? Mm. Wonderful. So now we learn something. I want you to remember these five things. Number one, he's the revelator. Number two, he's the administrator. Is that right? And number three, he's the advocate. And number four, he's the teacher. Number five, he's the reminder. All right. Can I go through one more time? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Number one, he's what? Revelator. Number two?
Administrator.
Number three?
Advocate.
Number four?
Teacher.
Number five?
Reminder.
Let's go one more time.
Revelator, administrator, teacher.
Reminder. All right. You got the five. Now, remember I told you that you got to acknowledge him? Right? So what about every day? You know, when you pray and meet prayer, even in your office, say, Holy Spirit, I thank you. You're my advocate. You're my revelator. I thank you, Holy Spirit. You're my teacher. You're my reminder. You're my administrator. I mean, it's amazing when you begin to acknowledge him. What's going to happen to your life? It'll never, ever be the same again.
Amen.
You see, you've got to acknowledge, just like Jesus, acknowledge him. Confess your dependence. Lord, I always say, Holy Spirit, I thank you. I need you more than any other person on the face of the earth. I say, Holy Spirit, Good Success Church needs you more than any other church on the face of the earth because you're the pastor. Come on. Because he's the only one who can magnify and glorify Jesus. Hello? So, and it's amazing what the Holy Spirit will do for you. All right? Can we go a bit further?
Yes.
Can you take a bit more?
Yes.
Are you still awake?
Amen.
All right. And tomorrow morning, we're going to talk about the anointing of the Holy Spirit.
Praise.
But today, we're just building the foundation. Praise. All right? Because end of the day, it's not just hearing and going, you got to walk in the Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right? Now, so number one, I must acknowledge him. Number two, I must confess my dependency on him. Mm-hmm. And number three, I must have union and communion with him all the time. Mm-hmm. Now, remember that famous scripture, you know, preachers close up when the service is finished, they use that scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14. The love of the Lord, is that right? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. All right? Now, the word communion there also means, one of the things if you study the word means to pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says pray without ceasing. Is that right? Now, I remember I was in a boardroom, you know, I used to work for Fairfax as an alternate director and a company secretary. So I was in the boardroom one day in Fairfax Board, and then I remember in the middle of the budget meeting, I remember this thought came to me, how can I pray when I'm in a board meeting? But the Bible says, pray without ceasing. And the Holy Spirit immediately said to my heart, why don't you ask me? You see, many times we want to sort things in our own way rather than asking the Holy Spirit. I said, Holy Spirit, I want to pray without ceasing. Why don't you help me? And you know, it's amazing. The meeting went, and I began to drive home after the meeting. And you know, without my knowledge, I was praying in the Spirit. While you're sleeping, you can pray in the Spirit because the Holy Spirit can do it.
Amen.
Are you with me? You might be working, but the Spirit is praying. But you got to ask him. Shall we ask him? Lift your hand. Say after me, Blessed Holy Spirit.
Blessed Holy Spirit.
I want to pray,
without ceasing.
Pray through me.
Intercede
through me.
Intercede
worship
the
Lord through me.
Lord
day and night.
Day and
in
night.
Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I receive it now.
I
thank you for it.
In
Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 It's very simple. By faith, you asked and you received. It's amazing what he will do.
Amen.
You know, he can pray. You know, my pastor and Pastor Cho, Yonki Cho, are very good friends. And one of the things Pastor Cho does is always, he will pray in tongues. And one of the things he said was, rather than me gossiping, I might as well pray in tongues. Because it is not only edifying me, it is blessing me. Come on. That's what all about walking in the Spirit. Amen. All right? So are you learning?
Amen.
Now, that word communion also means fellowship. He's leading and I'm following. I'm not leading and he's following. See, a lot of Christians wants to do things and then ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I'm in trouble. But did you ask in the first place whether there's a businessman who came and said, Pastor, I'm in trouble. I want help. I said, did you ask the Lord whether you should go into or not? No, because they only come to us when they are already in trouble. But you see, before you make a decision, ask him. Ask him. That's what living in the supernatural means.
Amen.
Ask him. Now, let me give you an example. I was preaching in a small church in Arkansas, just the border between Oklahoma and Arkansas. 3,000 people. And I want to tell you this. Pastor said you're from Chicago, is that right? In that place where I was preaching, there was no colored people. So I was walking to Walmart, and the sheriff was following me, thinking I'm a Mexican who had jumped the borders. I preached at the First Assemblies of God Church, and the pastor said, you're the first colored to preach. And I said, I'm glad he didn't tell me before. But anyway, that's some of my experiences. So here we are, and that's not the pastor who invited me. There's another church pastor. He said, you know what? Tomorrow you're off, and I'm going to take you to a church in Tulsa. And he said, it has 25,000 membership, and you can see the building. You can look at everything. And so here, he takes me there, and then that's where T.L. Osborne Center is. So here, the T.L. Osborne Center. Some of you know who T.L. Osborne is. So I look at everything, and it's a massive church and everything. And there's a corridor, and the corridor has all the photograph, all the people who ever preached there. And I can mention names to you. So as I walked through the corridor, I looked at everything, and I came to the end of the corridor, and I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me. And he said, son, do you want me to be your manager from now on? And I said, Holy Spirit, be my manager in Jesus' name. I thank you. And did you know, even the pastor who took me was so surprised because the following year, I preached in that church.
Amen.
It's no by might, it is no by power, but by my Spirit.
Amen.
It's not I was good or anything. It is because of the Holy Spirit. He can take you to places the human people or anyone can. Let me rephrase. He can take you to places that others cannot open door for you. Are you hearing?
Yes.
Amen. And so I want to tell you. So today, make him your manager.
Amen.
Say after me, Holy Spirit,
you're my manager.
In Jesus' name. One more time.
Holy Spirit,
be my manager.
From
today,
in Jesus'
name,
your
life will never be the same again.
Amen.
What about in the morning when you're making a cup of tea? Holy Spirit, I thank you. You're my manager.
Praise.
I thank you. You're my administrator.
Praise.
I thank you, Holy Spirit. You're my advocate. I thank you, Holy Spirit. You're my comforter. You're my counselor. You're my companion. I thank you, Holy Spirit. You're my greatest teacher. I thank you. You're my greatest reminder. And you know, you're already walking in the supernatural. Just by acknowledging him, because he knows now you have a connection with him.
Amen.
He's not just some it. Now he's a person.
Yes.
Come on, talk to him.
Yes,
are you with me?
Yes.
Is this helping you?
Yes.
Amen. Now, let me take you a bit further. Are you okay?
Yes.
Are you sure you can take a bit more?
Yes.
All right. Now, so that word communion is not only pray without ceasing, but also that word communion means fellowship, but also participation. He participates with you in the things you do for God.
Amen.
See, you have a companion. You have one who participates with you. He's your co-worker.
Mm.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Let me give you, because if I give you some testimonies, yes, you'll remember, right? Yes. So here one day, I had an invitation to speak in Panama City. So it's Pastor Cho, Yonki Cho has, he's, all his board come, and they have this meeting called Ecclesiastic Meeting, huge meeting in Panama City. So I have to fly from Perth to Sydney, Sydney, LA, LA, Miami, right? So when I got to LA, they told me my bags haven't come. So they said, you know, you put a note that American Airlines, the bag hasn't come, but when you get to Miami, the bags will be there. So I got to Miami about 11 o'clock at night, and the bags were not there. And if you've been to Miami Airport, you go so far away, you had to walk to the end to baggage claim. And then by the time I got there, it was 12 o'clock, no bags. They gave me a receipt, and the person who came to pick me up has already left because he thought I didn't come. So at midnight, now I'm got into a taxi, and I said, take me to this hotel. And the person, he's saying, this is my first time I'm driving a taxi. I'm so tired, right? So I get, by the time he finds this place, it's almost 2 in the morning, and I get to the hotel. And then I had to ring the American Airlines, and I just was putting my head on the pillow. American Airlines rings me, and they said, you know, your bags are at the tarmac, and if you don't get it by 5 o'clock in the morning, they will put on the run, and you'll only get at 3 or 4 o'clock in the evening. But I'm catching the flight to Panama City at 2 o'clock. So I said, don't worry, I will come to the airport and pick. So I took another taxi now, get to the Miami airport, pick all the bags, come back, and it's almost 6 a.m. in the morning. And I used to do a radio program through a station called Voice, you know, and they have the Voice station also has a station in Miami. And so that station, the station manager was there for me to do a program that they're going to translate in Portuguese and Spanish in Miami. So he was sitting there at 7 o'clock to take me to do the program. So anyway, I said, Holy Spirit, you've got to give me strength. And I left the bags, and so we put all the bags in. He took me to the station, and I did 2 one-hour programs, one in Transit Spanish and Portuguese, and then he took me to the plane. So here I get into the flight, and there is the flight is 3 seats, aisle and 3. So and I'm sure you can imagine, I was so tired, all I wanted to do is to sleep, right? So the flight took off. And I'm sleeping, and the Lord began to speak to me. And he said, get up and sit on the other side. And I was not interested to listen. I was so tired, you know. And he kept telling me, you know, you got to get up and sit on the other side. So finally, just before the flight was landing into Panama City, I took courage and I got up and sat on the other side. And there was a man on the window side, because the middle chairs were vacant. And then he said, talk to him. So now the flight was about to land, and I talked to him, and I said, you know, how are you? Are you from Panama City? You know, he didn't ask anything. The next answer he told me immediately. He told me the weather in Panama. He told me the currency in Panama. He told me how the population in Panama. He told me every statistical data that he can give in that few minutes. And then he told me one thing. He said, a lot of Jews live here, in the middle of the conversation. I said, fine. And now I got down and went through the immigration and everything. Now it's almost, I think it was about 12:30 midnight. Came out of the airport, and nobody was there to pick me up. It's almost midnight. So I'm waiting, and the airport is being closed. I went to a taxi driver. He said, no English. Went to a policeman, no English. They're all Spanish, right? So I didn't know what to do. So I put my bags and I put my head down to pray. And as I began to pray, this guy who I spoke in the flight stood right in front of me. He said, what are you doing? And I was not in a mood to talk to him. So I told him, you know, I said, look, there's somebody supposed to pick me up, and they never turned up. And so he asked, who are the people? I said, it's the church people. He said, have you got their number? I said, I do. But before even I can tell him, you know, at 1 o'clock in the morning, no church will be open. Right? He said, he's insisting I give him the number. So I gave him the number. He said, hold on here. So he said, I'll go and dial and see whether somebody's there. And how could I told him there's nobody there, right? But anyway, he goes, after 10 minutes, he comes back and he says, nobody, office is closed. I was so disappointed. But he said, don't worry. I am going to bring my car and I'm going to take you to Panama City. So now, there's nobody around and I'm wondering what is going to happen. He brings this big Cadillac, and before he even asks, he takes my bag, put in the boot. He said, get in. I said, Lord, what do I do? The Lord said, get in. So I got into the car, and you know, he goes and parks in front of Radisson Hotel and checks me in under his name, right, in the Radisson Hotel. And now it's about 2 o'clock in the morning. He insists that he has to take me around a spin around the city. He won't take no for an answer. I was so tired. So now he takes me and I said, Lord, what do I do? And the Lord says, go with him. So now I get in and he takes me up and here comes. And I still remember he comes through this place and he says, this is where all the Jews live. He's very particular about all these Jews. There's all the, in Panama, a lot of Jews live. So and then he comes around. I still remember he comes through a petrol station and he says, oh, by the way, this could be the church that you're looking for. And he packs there and he says, let me go and find out. He walks in and there are people still working because that conference, 50,000 people come. So they're working all night. And so he said, go down and talk to some of them. So I went down and talked to one of the pastors there. Oh, he said, I'm sorry, we had a miscommunication. He talked to the senior pastor, whatever it is. He said, look, go and settle down in Radisson Hotel. Tomorrow we'll come pick you up. So he takes me back into the car and he drops me at Radisson. So I said, on the way, I said, you know, I want to thank you for what you've done. Can I have your phone number? So you know, I can ring you. We can, at least I'm in Panama City for 5 days. We can have a meal together. He gave me a phone number, and then he dropped me and went off. So they transferred me to their own hotel. And so every day I tried to ring him, I couldn't get through. So I went to the receptionist, and I said, look, can you connect this number to me? So the person comes and says after a few minutes, this number doesn't exist. You see, that's what's all about living in the supernatural. I believe that day I entertained an angel who came to help me in that predicament. Are you with me? That's what it's all about, living in the supernatural. You know, living in the supernatural is amazing. You don't know what's going to happen next to you. My pastor says, living dangerously and recklessly. Are you with me? You know, that's what, it's amazing, living in the supernatural, right? And the Lord always helps you. Amen? Amen. And so I'm giving this testimony to encourage you. God doesn't say it's only for Raja. No, God is no respecter of person. He can do it everything all the time for you. Amen. Are you with me?
Amen.
Can I give you another testimony?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Sure, before we go, are you sure?
Yes.
All right. Now, you know, when I got saved in London, because I come from a Hindu background, I got saved in London, and I was so happy, and I wrote a letter to my home, and I said, I got saved, I found Jesus. I thought when you get saved, everything will be fine. They stopped all my school fees. You know, And so there was a time the Wimbledon finals were. And you know, my dream is to watch a Wimbledon final in the center court. And so that year I had a ticket. And I used to work because I studied economics and accounting. And so I used to work for a Jewish accountant. He forgot to send my passport to the home office. So now I don't have money to study, nor has he sent the passport. So I said to myself, doesn't matter whether if I have or not, I'm going and watching the Wimbledon finals. So that morning I got up. I'm a young Christian. Nobody told me that God can speak. I want you to know the Holy Spirit speaks. He's a person. He has a voice. And that morning, I was about to go, and the Spirit of God spoke to me, still small voice. He said, go to Victoria Station. I ignored. The voice came back. Go to Victoria Station. So I went to Victoria Station. Now, if you've been to Victoria Station, it's a large station. And I said, what do I do now? I'm in the Victoria Station. What do I do? And there, the Lord showed me a billboard. And under the billboard was a guy who had blue hair, green hair, big boots, big chain. He was a punk. And, you know, this is, I'm thinking about 30 years ago, you know, they call us the Pockies and they used to beat us up. And I said, Lord, I'm not going near him. Right? So I took enough car. I walked around and round and round. And I said, Lord, it's your responsibility. So I kept my distance. And then I said, the Lord told me to tell you that he loves you. So he grabs himself with the greatest difficulty. He comes and puts his arms around me, and I saw the needle marks. You know, he has been taking drugs. He hadn't had any food, so I gave him a cup of coffee, and don't ask me. I took him home. I still don't know. I took him home. You know, it's amazing how the Lord, the Holy Spirit, will lead you. I mean, it's, you know, I think, what did I was thinking at that time? I took him home, gave him a shower, and he said his name was Barnes. And then he said, you know, I said to him, tomorrow I'm going to take you to church and get them to pray for you. But he said, can I ring my mom? I said, sure. He rang the mom. And to cut the story short, next morning, his mom comes in a brand new Porsche driving to see the son. He's the son of the leader of the House of Lords and one of the richest people in England at that time. So to cut the story short, this is, after that, they looked after me. See, the Lord always provides. Say after me, he's, give the Lord a hand. Okay. Now, I'm going to put something in your spirit. Say after me, the provision is in the promises. Come on, one more time.
The provision is in the
promises. One more time.
All
the provision you ever need is in the promise of God. Are you with me? It is in the promises. When you want a dollar bill, don't go to anybody. There is Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. All the dollars you need is already in there. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, he is able to make all grace abound towards you, having all sufficiency in all circumstances, may abound to every good work. In other words, he can give you more than enough. That's where all your needs, everything is. So when you have a need, go to the promises.
Amen.
Come on, one more time.
Amen.
Say after me,
my provision
is in the promise.
In the promises.
Don't forget.
Great.
Now,
Amen.
Somebody asked me later, did you ever go to Wimbledon? I should tell you tomorrow, isn't it? Now, I'll tell you. You know, God never forgets. He never forgets the benefits. And so, I was obedient to the Lord. And after 30 years, he allowed me to sit in member stand and watch my favorite player, Roger Federer, last year at Wimbledon Center Court. And free. Isn't that wonderful? And this time I was able to watch with my family. You know, God never forgets. Even after 30 years, I have forgotten, but God never forgot.
Amen.
That's what it means to walk in the supernatural.
Amen.
All right? Now, are you allowed to take a bit more?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
All right. Now, so let's go back one more time because I want to remember. Remember, I told you the Holy Spirit is the advocate. He's your teacher. He's your reminder. He's your administrator. He's your revelator. And remember, Jesus was led by the Spirit. Is that right? He was empowered by the Spirit. He was anointed by the Spirit. Is that right? He fulfilled God's purposes by the Spirit. He went to the cross by the Spirit. He rose again from the dead by the Spirit. Is that right? We must walk in the Spirit. We must be led by the Spirit. We must live in the Spirit.
Amen.
Agreed?
Amen.
Amen. So from now on, you got to expect a supernatural. You are a supernatural being in Christ Jesus. Amen. You got to accept supernatural things. You got to change your mindset.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
Are you with me? You got to say, oh, when I lay hands on the sick, they're going to recover. Amen. Because now the greater is in me than that is in the world. When I pray, things are going to happen.
Amen.
When I go to the office is going to change.
Amen.
Because I'm carrying the very presence of the Almighty God.
Amen.
Are you with me? Are you ready for the next revelation before you go home?
Amen.
This is a good lunch. All right. Now, saints of God, in Luke chapter 11, it's a wonderful chapter. There was a pastor, he's passed and gone away, in China. And, you know, those days in China, they didn't have Bibles. They only had certain pages of the Bible. So this pastor preached Luke chapter 11 for many, many years. And the church was called Luke 11 Church. You know. And so in Luke chapter 11, verse 1 and 2, if you read, you will see that Jesus begins to teach the disciples how to pray. Right? He says, pray that the kingdom will come. Thy kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven. Now he progresses along, and then he now comes to 11 and up to 13. And he introduced to them the spirit of the kingdom. He said, if you ask the Heavenly Father, how much more will he give the Holy Spirit? Correct? And then he demonstrates to them the power of the Spirit. And now he cast out a dumb spirit. Hello? And then the Pharisees and the Sadducees got all upset, and they said, by whose power is he casting it out? Is it by Beelzebub? And so Jesus begins to explain, and he says in Luke chapter 11 and verse 20, if I cast out the demons by the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Now, lift your finger. This is a real revelation. Say after me, finger of God. One more time. One more time. How many would like to see the finger of God in your life?
Amen.
Now, remember, finger of God was already there in the Old Testament. Can I show it to you? All right, go to Exodus 8, verse 18 and 19, because this is a real revelation. I want you to know, once you understand this, you know, you will see the lame walk, the cripple walk, and you know, this building will not be enough.
Amen.
Hello? Because where the supernatural is, people will come.
Amen.
Amen. Now the magicians so worked with their enchantment to bring forth lies, but they could not. So there was lies on man and beast. Verse 19. Then the magician said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. But Pharaoh heard, grew hard. Let me tell you, magician went to Pharaoh and says, Pharaoh, this is not magic anymore. This is the finger of God. Are you with me? Now, let me give you another scripture. Go to Exodus 31, verse 18. Now, this is an amazing scripture. Praise God. Praise God. And when he had made an end of speaking with him in the Mount Sinai, he gave Moses two tablets of the testament, tablets of stones written with the finger of God. You see, now we see the finger of God in the Old Testament. And we see that the finger of God is the one who wrote the law on the tablets. Right? Can I give you a revelation? Can you take this?
Uh-huh.
I got 10 minutes.
Yes.
Are you sure?
Sure.
All right. Remember in John 8, they caught a woman in the act of adultery. And they dragged into Jesus. Is that right? Now, Jesus, amazingly, he stoops down and he begins to write with his finger on the floor. Is that right? Now, isn't that what the Pharisees and the Sadducees could not understand? All the people around could not understand. He was telling them, it is the same finger who wrote the law is in the midst of them. Think about it. Wow. It is the same finger. Now, I'm going to close with this, and then I'm going to pray for you. Is that all right? Go one more time. Luke 11:20. Brother, can you give me Luke 11:20? But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Correct? All right, let's go to Matthew 12:28, and I'll show you the same verse with a slight different. Praise God. Here we go. But if I cast out the demons, by what? So who is the finger of God? None other than the Holy Spirit. And think about, you know, the finger of God defeated Pharaoh. Finger of God was there when the law was written. And if the same finger of God is inside of you, what are you worried about?
Amen.
Come on. Hello?
Amen.
I mean, you can save the entire land brook. Because it is no by might, no by power, but by the finger of God.
Amen.
Think about the power that you possess. Hello? Are you with me?
Yes.
Amen. So are you ready for the finger of God to work in you?
Yes.
Amen. Let's stand to our feet.